Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, my friends. It is 43 chilly degrees here at the studios of Jim Hinckley's America, within shouting distance of legendary Route 66 in Kingman, Arizona. But it's a little bit cloudy. It's going to make for a great sunrise. But that just means, well, let's see what we've got. It's going to be about 70 degrees today. A bit warm for this time of year. No complaints. But we sure have missed having any kind of winter here this year. We're going to see if we can get Roy Peckrell with us this morning. Roy is the owner of the Pink Elephant Antique Mall in Livingston, Illinois. Should be joining us in just a little bit. We'll give a shout out to some of our great sponsors and friends at David Brenner at the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico. This is more than just a motel, for sure. It is a almost magical place that blurs the line between past and present. And, well, it's a great little time capsule. Gives you a peek at what road trips were like in the mid-1960s. And of course, it's got all the modern amenities that the traveler today does expect. And also, another one I like to recommend is the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. Connie Eccles has done just an absolute wonderful job bringing that time capsule to life. That is supposed to be the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66. And Nolan, $13, pretty cheap back in 1995. I can definitely tell you that. But it definitely needed a little bit of work at that point in time. I've got some great directories here. Let's see what I've got from Missouri. We'll get this out for you real quick, and then we'll join with Roy and talk a bit about the Wagon Wheel. You were asking, let's see here, Missouri, Cuba. This is from the 1940 AAA guide, and it says Wagon Wheel Cabins on US 66, east edge of town, 10 new, well-built stone cottages, each with private tub or shower, bath, hot and cold running water, furnished and maintained, hot water, heat, fans in summer, 7 private garages, $2 to $3.50 per day for 2 people. Hey, Roy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Oh, I'm sure glad you could take some time out of your Sunday to join us. Hey, gosh bless. I don't even know where to begin. The Pink Elephant is one of those places that my first impression was a loss of words, which is something I generally don't have. And the only thing that came to mind was, what the hell? What a fascinating and exciting blend of, well, everything.
Yeah, it's everything quirky you expect to find on old Route 66. A lot of eclectic memories from the past.
Yeah, most definitely. How did, first of all, the building is kind of unique. That's the old school from Livingston?
Yeah, that is the Livingston High School. It was built in 1926, the same year that old Route 66 opened. And then in 1945, they added the gymnasium that now houses the primary part of the antique mall. But yeah, that building all the way back to 1926.
That's a great, great location you've got there. The antique mall itself is really interesting because my folks had a couple antique stores as I was growing up. So I have an affinity for those kind of places to begin with. But it's a lot of the roadside stuff that you've managed to accumulate. I've noticed, I don't know where you've come up with some of these, but some of the old advertising fiberglass statues, the different things you have.
But me and my wife Tanya are the second owners of it as the antique mall. The original owner, Dave Hammond, is the one that went around the country picking up a lot of those, large fiberglass statues. The Futuro UFO, it came from up by Springfield. The Twisty Treat Diner that's housed in the old Twisty Treat fiberglass building, those were a franchise from the 1980s down in Florida. He found that one disassembled in a field in Pennsylvania and brought it home. He's got some stories of where those everything came from.
You forget. With the passing of time, we have a tendency to forget these things until we see them, like at the Pink Elephant, A&W, the mom and pop, the Bears, Bob's Big Boy. These kind of things have vanished, and we just didn't seem to notice. But I'm sure glad you preserved them there.
Yeah. It's everyone that comes in there enjoys, seeing them and getting their photo taken next to them. It's quite an event to show up there.
Yeah, it's something for all ages. I think that you've really created something here. That's quite an attraction, not just for Route 66 enthusiasts, but for just families in general. A place where you can take your kids or grandkids and share with them things from your childhood, your past, and you've managed to bring it to life. I like the way you've incorporated having a little ice cream shop and hamburger stand. It just really enhances things.
Yeah, it brings it in and gives them something to eat while they're there. That's and talking to Davey, the reason he put that there, he kept having people show up to see his fiberglass statues, and they'd always ask him, "Hey, where do we go eat?" He finally decided, you know what, I need to find some place for him to eat here, and came up with the old Twisty Treat cone building and put that in.
Do you sell any of the old fiberglass statues, or are you still acquiring more?
Yeah, none of them are for sale. We are acquiring more as we can afford them and locate them.
Yeah, locating them is a challenge, I'm sure.
But they're as rare as hen's teeth anymore.
They probably turn up in some of the strangest places.
Yeah, you usually get a phone call from someone saying, "Hey, are you interested? I saw one several years ago in a backyard here or there," and it takes a little bit digging around to find them.
The UFO, that is, those were really popular about, 40 years ago, 45 years ago? What's the story behind those?
So in the late 1960s, those were built by a Finnish architect, Matti, I'm going to mess up his last name, starts with an S. I'm not even going to attempt to say his last name, but they made approximately 100 of them. Around 20 of them made it to the United States, and less than 15 of them are still here in the U.S.
Oh,
but those were built as what he called a ski chalet or a cabin. They were a two-bedroom, one bath with a kitchen and open living concept.
That gives me a thought. Do you have any plans, since you've got dining on site, do you have any plans to add like a RV park or lodging options?
Well, that is our big plan for this year, is we're going to start construction on a 20 to 25 site RV park, and the Futuro we're going to convert into an Airbnb, rehab it and make it an Airbnb on site.
Oh, you know, that'd provide folks with a very unique lodging option.
Yes, as far as I know, there's only one other Futuro Airbnb in the United States, and that one's out in Joshua Tree, California.
You know, an RV park, traveling Route 66 by RV has become a very popular option for people. I work really close with Adventure Caravans, and they do an annual Route 66 tour for RV owners. And that's really picked up a lot in popularity, especially since COVID.
Yeah, we see RVs daily coming in there with people, families coming in and visiting. So it's definitely a need on old Route 66, especially with the 100-year anniversary coming up.
Yes, yes. You know, the Centennial, I'm really surprised that more communities aren't waking up to the possibilities the Centennial represents, because unless we burn the country down or have another apocalypse like 2020, I think 2026 is going to be it's going to be just absolutely incredible what's on Route 66, the number of travelers.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be overwhelming for a lot of areas.
I was talking with Dries Bessels. He's one of the administrators for the Historic Route 66 page on Facebook. And they just passed 200,000 followers. And that's an increase of something like 10,000 just since the first of the year. So the interest is growing exponentially.
Yeah, and the international interest is what amazes me. The amount of people from traveling from all over the world that come to old Route 66. And I mean, that's their way of exploring the USA.
Yeah, it's become the quintessential American road trip for these folks. And I grew up on traveling as a kid, and Route 66 was a big part. And it's just a road, but I have trouble wrapping my head around, like, this summer is going to be the third European Route 66 Festival in Prague this year. And it's hard to fathom this.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing with Route 66 is people realized we were losing the Americana of the past in yes. time to start preserving. And it's one of the few routes left in the country that you can see the old fiberglass statues and people that have preserved the old hotels and buildings and such.
Well, you know, a lot of the highways like US 12 and US 6, they've got a lot of the mom and pop stuff still along the road, but what they don't have is passionate people like yourself and your wife. There's not that sense of enthusiasm, that excitement, and the working together that gives Route 66 a feel of America's longest small town, I guess it'd be a way to put it.
It really is. You know, since we've taken over ownership of the Pink Elephant, the amount of other business owners in the area on Old 66 that have contacted us and come through, hey, you know, you guys are new owners, we want to meet you. It's amazing how tight-knit that community is.
Yeah, that's what really sets Route 66 apart, is the people. The people who travel it, the people like yourself and your wife who bring these businesses to life, and the networking, like Casey Claypool in Illinois. She's just an absolute dynamo about building this sense of community.
Yeah, Casey has been a huge help with us, you know, through her organization, the Scenic Byways, and we've been up to her place at Docks. She's an amazing person. She's always someone that if I have a question, I can lean on her.
Yes, yes, most indeed. Yeah, Docks off 66 in Girard. That's another one of those great quirky places. I was real surprised. I kind of lost track of eating. I got poking around on some of her stuff there, and she had a medical leech jar in one of the cabinets. I thought, wow, that's kind of different.
Oh yeah.
Another thing I really liked about the Pink Elephant was you've got a great candy store there.
Yeah, the Mother Road Fudge and Candy Store. We make our fudge there homemade, usually around 15 to 20 flavors, depending on the season. And we do our best to find the candies that are no longer in the, you know, supermarket shelves. The manufacturers are still making them, just they're not as popular as they used to be.
Yes, yes. There was a lot of childhood favorites I noticed in there. Have you talked with Stephanie Stuckey about possibly carrying Stuckey's peanut logs?
We do have them now.
Good.
Yeah, she was one of the first people that reached out to me last year or beginning of last year when I put out that we had purchased the Pink Elephant. She sent me a message on Facebook Messenger congratulating us and talked for a while, and then we saw their products at a trade show we were at, and I was like, we definitely got to get those in there. So we do now have Stuckey's.
Oh, you know, now there's a throwback, and having a link like that, you've created quite a time capsule, and that's what we were talking about at the beginning of this morning, was these time capsules that blur the line between past and present, and the Pink Elephant definitely fills that category.
Yeah, especially with the roadside attractions out there and with the antique mall. I mean, it's daily. You hear families in there telling their kids, hey, this is what I used to use to get this done. I had this toy when I was a kid. I mean, it's the stuff just sparks a memory with people.
Yeah, I'm old enough now that I get to do that. You know, back when I was a kid, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a chance to spend as much time as I had wanted to there. But, we will be back this fall. And we've definitely got it on the schedule to spend more time at the Pink Elephant, poking around a bit. Have you seen a pretty marked increase in traffic on Route 66 the last year or so?
Yeah, each year it seems like it's building up more and more. And last year was a phenomenal summer.
And now you're one of the stops, passport stops for the Mother Road Route 66 passport?
Yes. Yeah. Marion stopped in. It's been several months ago. Out of the blue, got a hold of me and said, hey, I want to stop and talk to you, and had a great conversation with him. And now we're one of the passport stops, which is awesome for us.
All right, folks, there you go. The Mother Road Route 66 passport is a great addition to the road, a customizable souvenir. And now you can get it customized at the Pink Elephant. Yeah, you know, Marion, speaking of the international interest in Route 66, there's an example. Marion's company is out of Bratislava, Slovakia, of all things. And his passion for Route 66 and his passion for helping the businesses and the communities on Route 66 is really infectious.
Yeah, he was amazing to talk to. His knowledge of Route 66 and everything going on, you can tell he really has a love for it.
Yeah, a great love and a great passion for it. And the navigation app that he's put together, he's working on that. And then with Joyce Cole up in Pontiac, working on a Route 66 centennial version of the passport. I was talking to him when he was at the Miles of Possibility conference this last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Aside from the RV park, do you have any other big plans for the Pink Elephant?
So we're doing a lot of fairs and, I guess, festivals at the Pink Elephant. We've added different stuff last year, and we've added to it this year again. Last year was our second annual Easter egg hunt, or third. And we're doing that again this year. We had over 200 kids there last year, and it just keeps growing. But we've added vendors markets that we're doing. We did cruise-ins for the old cars last year. We've changed that up this year. We're doing it the third Thursday of the month. Going to have bands out here. And then last year we did our first UFO alien festival to go along with the Futura home. So we're doing that again this year. having vendors out there and bands playing and different stuff for people to do.
If you'll keep me posted, if you'll send me a note on the dates of the events and a few details, yeah. I work with Marian Pavel, and we'll get those added to the Route 66 navigation app. He's put in an event section with the app, and I'll make sure those get added.
Yeah. One other thing I forgot to add, last year we added, it was in the old part of the school, so the antique mall is in the newer gymnasium that was built in 1945, but the 1926 section of the building had just been storage. It's a three-story building. We cleaned that out last year and put a haunted house in it for the month of October, and did that as a fundraiser for our local fire department. It went over amazingly. So we're going to continue that this year. It's the Area 66 Haunted School. We'll be running in October. And I've never had so much fun in my life.
Ah, that's another, well, I've got another reason to stop. I'll be coming back through for the Miles of Possibility Conference the end of October.
Okay, so, yeah.
I'll definitely have to come check that out. Roy, this is, I just can't express enough, encourage people enough to get out and discover it, take a road trip. And even if you can't do all of Route 66, get out and start with a place like the Pink Elephant. That will give that right there is your gateway drug, if you will. That introduces you to the magic and the infectious excitement that is a Route 66 adventure. You've done a tremendous job of giving people a very unique opportunity.
Yeah, we like to say it's a good one-stop to experience old Route 66. You're able to shop the antiques, get something to eat, and a sweet treat all in one stop, and plus all the photo opportunities that you have when you're there.
You know, I had a couple questions here that's popped up on my phone, but if you have any of these old advertising statues, I'll do a blog post about the Pink Elephant probably later today or tomorrow, and I'll include the podcast and some photographs from the Pink Elephant, but I'll also include the address and contact there. And if you do have, you know of some of these, maybe contact Roy. I had some people asking, they said they knew where there was a Bob's Big Boy, and I have a gentleman here that says that we were talking about A&W, and his grandfather has the Bears from A&W.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll see if we can put that together.
Yeah,
one that I have not seen, and kind of controversial today, and it shouldn't be, it's part of history, but the Sambo's restaurant chain. Do you remember those?
I do not recall those.
Yeah, they were late 50s, mid 60s. A little controversial today, but it was Sambo's restaurants, pancake houses. Brady, I can ask. Brady Wilson says, pardon if it's not appropriate. He knows it's a little controversial, but any plans on rescuing the Gemini Giant?
I would love to. That's unfortunately not in our budget at the starting price.
It's way, way overpriced.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, if you could get it, it would be nice. I feel for the community of Wilmington and all those that love the Gemini Giant. I hope that he comes out of this unscathed.
The owner, we won't, like I said, Brady, it is controversial, and the price is way overpriced, but chances are the owner wouldn't sell it even if somebody came up with the money, to be honest. It's really, it's a bad situation.
Yeah, it is. And I pray that she gets what she needs as far as help.
Yeah. You know, it's great too, these the attention that these fiberglass, and you've given this spotlight, these old international fiberglass statues. And like the ones that are being collected up in Atlanta, Illinois, for the Giants Museum.
Yes. Yeah. And the Giants Museum, they're doing some amazing things. That's a great idea that he's got going there.
Well, here's a thought for you folks. You know, you can make a whole tour along Route 66, stop in Atlanta and see the Giants Museum and wander down to the Pink Elephant and continue west. There's a few of those around along the road still, and see how many you can find.
Yeah, that, I know there's a couple books out there that will guide you to where the Giants are.
Yes, yes. I know the push is on to find those. They have an interesting story. International Fiberglass was behind those.
Yeah.
And they, I think the first one was installed actually along Route 66 in Flagstaff, Arizona, if I recall.
Yeah, that's
1962, the Lumberjack Cafe on Route 66. It was the first rendition, and they were known because they had one hand up and one hand down, and they created those so they could be different configurations. One mold could be used for, you know, all kinds of different advertising purposes.
Yeah, yeah, because they started out as the Lumberjacks and then became the Muffler Men.
Yeah, the Muffler Men, the Gemini Giant, all these different configurations.
The Gemini Giant, I think, is one of two or three that were made as spacemen. So it's one of the rarer ones that's out there.
Yeah, the fellow found a need and did something here. Roy, gosh darn it, I can't say enough about what you're doing there. I was really, really impressed. And I just really was impressed. Yeah. I also enjoyed your food.
Good, good. Yeah, I got to give the majority of the accolades for this coming to fruition for us to my wife, Tanya. She started working there back in 2008 when the Twisty Treat Diner opened up. And became their manager, and that's how we became friends with the, you know, the original creator of this, Dave Hammond. I worked my job full time, and then was able to retire this year. And I had told her on a whim last year. He'd always joked around with her, "Hey, you're going to buy this place sometime." She's like, "No, I'm not going to buy it." She had leased the restaurant from him back in 2020. And with me thinking of retirement coming up, I told her, I said, "You ought to ask him what he wants for the place." Well, she mentioned it to him, and we had it bought within 2 months. So he was ready to move on to other things, but he put his heart and soul into the Pink Elephant. You know, his dad, Dave Hammond, the elder, is in his, I think, 80s or 90s. I should know this. But he still comes in almost daily and sits in the antique mall and talks to people. I mean, it's just a passion for their family, and we're grateful to them that, you know, they entrusted us with this place. And, you know, I always tell everybody, Tanya's the owner, I'm the maintenance man.
You know, you just spoke volumes there about what makes this whole experience so special at the Pink Elephant and on Route 66. Having someone like the senior Mr. Hammond sit there and just visit with people, talk to people. And then what you said, you know, you're the caretaker, you're the preserving it for the next generation.
Yes.
Yep. When did the Pink Elephant Antique Mall open, Roy, originally?
So the school closed down after their 2004-2005 school season, and it went up for bid. By the fall of 2005, they had put the antique mall in it. So beginning of 2005. And they had, prior to that, they had the Coliseum in Benelde.
Oh, really? Really?
Had the Pink Elephant out there. And then they moved the Pink Elephant to the new building. That is also an international fiberglass structure.
Yes. Huh. That's... Gosh, and there's so many other attractions. You know, with an RV park there, somebody could stay there, and there's so many neat things to see. Oh, within 50 miles.
Oh yeah, you've got Old Route 66 in that area, but then you've got the Great River Road, not too far down in Alton, which is another, you know, scenic byway down in there. We've met up with Corey Job with Rivers and Routes out there, their organization, several times. He's been an amazing help for us also.
Well, Corey Job is quite a dynamo himself. He was with Illinois Tourism for quite a while, and now putting his muscle behind the Great River Roads. And the good news is, with a lot of Route 66 travelers, they're not just myopic on just Route 66. They're curious about what's in the neighborhood. So I think an RV park is, it's just a common sense addition.
Yeah, that's what we're expecting. People probably get a lot of one night stays, but I would say probably 3 to 4 nights and just explore the area. You use that as their home base of operation. And what a great place to do it. You get to come back and see a UFO outside your RV and go eat ice cream out of a giant ice cream cone.
Yes. You're pretty close. You're pretty close to the Sugar Creek Bridge too, aren't you? Or am I mistaken? Up towards Auburn, up that direction.
And that's about a 40-minute
drive. It's probably about a 40-minute drive up to Auburn. Yeah. We're about 40, 45 minutes from Casey's place up there in Girard, and that's real close to where the brick section of Old 66 is also up there.
There's so many attractions in that area. The Sugar Creek Bridge is another great stop. Roy, anything else you'd like to share with folks this morning?
You know, as the new owners, caretakers of this place, we've enjoyed meeting everybody over the last year, you know, and growing our Facebook presence has helped. I think we've gone from 3,000 to almost 13,000 followers now on our Facebook. And just the amount of people we meet from around the world, we've got a map in the Twisty Treat Diner there of the world, and people can put a pin where they're from. And it's just amazing how that thing looks like a porcupine after being up a year. I mean, it's just everywhere coming in there.
That international component is something like we mentioned earlier. I cannot. It never ceases to amaze me. I run into people from countries that, to be honest, I didn't even know existed. Yeah. And the other thing I find entertaining with Route 66 is the things people, it's a road of dreams. You run into people rollerblading Route 66 or recreating their 60th year for a honeymoon, driving a 38 Chrysler down Route 66.
Yep.
Pretty astounding.
We'll have several times a year, we'll have 40 or 50 Harley Davidsons pull in. And it's always an amazement what nationality they'll end up being, because they're able to rent them up in Chicago area and, you know, come down as a gang of Harley riders, and they may be from Japan or Canada or wherever. It's just an interesting way to see the country for sure.
One of these times we get to talk and I'll have to share with you a story. I put together a deal for some German Route 66 travelers on motorcycles. And we ended up in a little tiny ghost town of Chloride, Arizona, probably 200 people, and ended up with a karaoke event with some World War II veterans. And that was kind of a different experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you can't make that one up, can you?
No. There's something really bizarre about half-drunk World War II veterans doing karaoke Mick Jagger tunes with Germans. Yeah, that's a... Can't be. It's just different.
Yeah.
Roy, I greatly appreciate you taking so much time out of your Sunday this morning, and I'll do a blog post on the Jim Hinckley's America website we'll get up some pictures and some information about the pink elephant and see if we can round up some more of those statues for you. And, well, see what else we can come up with. See if we can get some people sent your direction. I know we've definitely inspired a road trip or two for some folks this morning, and that's the whole idea.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you reaching out to us, Jim. It's been good talking with you, and I appreciate all you do for us out here on Old 66.
Well, it is a team effort, you know, all the way across the board. It's not a Jim show. It's a team effort, and I'm just glad I can help. And if we can do anything out this direction, you just give us a holler. And well,
same here. When you come through town, get a hold of me.
I definitely will, Roy. Thank you.
Yep.
Take care.
Maybe we'll put you up in a Airbnb UFO.
Oh, you got to be careful feeding stray dogs. You'd never get rid of them.
There you go.
Roy, thank you.
All right. You have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't that great? Roy is the essence of the Route 66 experience. Roy and his wife doing such a great job preserving the memories, keeping these things alive, providing Route 66 travelers with a unique, one-of-a-kind experience. You know, we were talking about things to see in that area, and I had a couple things I wanted to share with you here. I've got some notes from some folks. I was just talking to Nick Adam down in Litchfield. The Ariston Cafe has an anniversary coming up. I haven't heard much about any celebration yet, but maybe if you hear anything on that, Roy, let me know. The Ariston Cafe's anniversary, it looks like 1924.
Yeah, that
centennial.
Yeah, that's amazing for them.
Originally, if you don't know the story of Nick Adam and the Ariston Cafe, his father, it's quite a story. His father was a Greek immigrant, came here destitute, broke. It's an all-American story. He came here as a very young man, did everything, shined shoes, was a sheep herder in New Mexico, went home in World War I, fought for in World War I, came back to the States, started coal mining, and then somebody fronted him some money to open a small restaurant in Carlinville, Illinois, and that's where the whole Ariston Cafe started, and all-American experience there. But other things to see around the Pink Elephant. Gosh, Carlinville is one you got to see, too. Carlinville is a great little place. Hey, folks, do we have any questions for Roy this morning? Or anything any questions you got about traveling Route 66 in Illinois? No problem, Chris. We got Chris Tuttle with us. He's got Arizona podcast. Great program. He covers YouTube as well as audio podcast on, of course, Arizona. But he's really putting a lot of focus lately on Route 66 subjects and topics. Glad you could join us this morning, Chris. Brady, how's things in Texas this morning? Who else do we have with us? Well, we've got Maggie's with us. She's from the Ransom E. Olds Museum and Motor Cities up in Michigan. Yeah, Brady, it is worth time to spend in Illinois. There's a lot of communities and different alignments. You bet. You could easily spend 2 weeks on Route 66 just in Illinois. Very much so. Brady says Texas is back to bipolar weather, going to be 79 degrees today. That's a tad bit early. Roy, have you had much winter there in Illinois this year?
We had a hard January. It was cold. We're definitely on the weather roller coaster right now. I think it's going to be in the 60s today. It's supposed to hit 80, I think, on Wednesday, and then be back down to in the 40s, maybe even the high 30s on Thursday. So it can't make a decision what it wants to do here.
Why? It's so damned early for an 80-degree day in Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Wow. I paid my dues up in cold country, Michigan, Minnesota, those kind of places. And boy, 80 this time of year, I can't imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, in January, there was 2 weeks here. I don't think anyone was moving anywhere. We were all huddled in trying to stay warm. But that's at least broke for now.
I've got a question here about the Bob's Big Boy statues. You know, I'm not sure when those were first started appearing. And I'm not sure when they quit using them either. But I know they were really prevalent for a long time.
Yeah, there was a Big Boy restaurant in Alton probably up until 2002 or 3. It was I ate there several times.
Those are all. Let's see. I don't know on that one either. Boy, I'm trying to take notes here. see if I can find you folks some answers on some of these things, because I am not. I am not sure on this. I've got another one here. A question about A&W. The Burger family statues.
Yeah, those are amazing.
Do you know much about those, Roy?
I think up at the Atlanta Museum, they've got a set of them, or they've got a couple of them there, but I would say 1960s A&W is when they were from.
Well, we'll have to check into that.
But I'm pretty sure I was on the Atlanta, the museum that they've got up there on their page, and they had a couple of the characters.
I'm almost embarrassed here this morning how many of these questions are being asked that I don't have an answer to. Yogi Bear chain of restaurants had Yogi Bear and Boo Boo statues. Well,
I know the campgrounds. I don't remember the restaurant.
No, I don't. I do not either. Gosh. Well, folks, we are just coming up with all kinds of. My pa always said, "Better to fill your head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all." But this is really. Here's one for you. Frankenburger. Where were those located? Ah, okay. They were at Frankenstein. Frank-N-Stein restaurants were a chain in the Gary, Indiana area. And their specialty was a Frankenburger. And they had Frankenstein statues, similar to the Bob's Big Boy. Guys, this is you've got me down another rabbit hole here, and I think we're going to give Roy a treasure hunt here, things to look for.
Yeah, the Frankenstein would go good with the haunted house theme. That would be cool.
It definitely would, and I will see if I can find pictures of any of these things and get those up for you as well. Is there any other regional chains that you know of? Let's see what we got here. Oh, I see. Well, Whalen's Cuckoo Burger. The only thing I know that, thank you for asking, but the only thing I know that they had was the little cuckoo clock, the kind of neon trimmed cuckoo clock in the sign. And the only one left is along Route 66 in Miami, Oklahoma. But yes, that was another regional chain that I believe had a dozen restaurants at one point there in northeastern Oklahoma. What else we got, folks? Well, Roy, I think we really got some. We got people talking about some things this morning for sure.
Got the cylinders firing on them.
We sure do. Now we've got a treasure hunt out there, folks. We'll have to put up a little. Get this on the website and let's see if we can turn up some of these. Let's see what a Frankenstein looks like.
Yeah, I've been trying to Google, trying to find an image of him.
There's a burger chain with a baby. There's still one on the Lincoln Highway. Nolan, do you know what the chain is or was? Nolan just popped up with a burger chain with a baby. It's on the Lincoln Highway. My goodness. It looks like we're going to have to try again on this and do a whole program just on these statues.
Yeah. Yeah, locating where they're at, and that would be awesome.
Guys, before we wrap this up this morning, burgers as smooth as a baby's bottom? Well, I don't even know where to go with that. Oh, my. Guys, before we wrap this up, there's a lot of neat things coming down the pike, and I wanted to call your attention. Tucumcari, New Mexico, on the 29th, is hosting, working with the state of New Mexico on a stakeholders meeting for Route 66 Centennial planning. And I'll have information up on that on the website today. We want to congratulate Tim and Lenore here in Kingman, Arizona. They had their soft opening, kind of an invitation only on Friday. Mud on 66 is a great coffee shop that they're opening, and they're offering breakfast treats from the local bakeries and restaurants to go with the coffee. And it's really exciting to see because the building they've acquired was the old Denny Moore's Roadhouse that's been closed for decades. It was a condemned building, and they've given that a new lease on life. That's very exciting. Topok 66, I wanted to give you an update on that. I was there for a Mojave County Regional Tourism meeting recently, and it talk about having patience and perseverance. It took these folks almost over 12 years to get permission, get everything in place to build their motel. And they've done it. They've got the first 25 units up, and now Topok 66 is a full-fledged resort on the Colorado River. Like I mentioned earlier, my pa said it's better to fill the head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all. Topok, Arizona, it goes back into the era of steamboats on the Colorado River, but it was originally Needles, Arizona. Then the town was kind of abandoned. The post office closed. And meanwhile, Needles, California opened, named for the rock formations there along the Colorado River. And then Topok had a new lease on life, but the name Needles was taken. So they went with Topok, which is a Mojave Indian word for river crossing. And there was a ferry crossing there on the National Old Trails Road, or you crossed on the railroad bridge they had planked in between. But Topok 66 Resort, this is going to be another great destination for the Route 66 travelers. Very picturesque, very scenic, and now they have a nice hotel. Oh, Nolan, thank you. Nolan came up with a K-E-W-Q-P burger. K-E-W-P-E burger. Apparently it was a 1920s burger chain. Well, that's another rabbit hole. Other updates on Route 66 that we should be, I wanted to call your attention to. Let's see what we've got here. The Texas Route 66 Motor Tour will be coming up real soon. You might want to add that one to your calendar. Route 66 Fun Run this year is being capped at 850 vehicles entry. That's the first weekend in May. You can contact the Historic Route 66 Association of Arizona for more information on that event. As far as what we've got going on here with Coffee with Jim, next week we are going to talk to Ron Romero. He's got the Route 66 Rock and Roll Museum they're putting together up in Joliet. That'll be on the 3rd of March here on Coffee with Jim. And on the 10th, we'll be talking with Scott Piotrowski of the California Route 66 Association. Got a lot of updates about all the closures out of the Mojave Desert, the bridge replacements, and some other things coming up with the centennial. Then on the 17th, we're going to be talking to the Texas Route 66 Visitor Center director in from Amarillo, Texas. That's going to be kind of interesting because they are doing some pretty amazing things there in Amarillo. And then on the 24th of March, we're going to talk to the mural artist, Ray Harvey, from Missouri. Ray is known for, some incredible murals in Cuba, Missouri. One of his most recent was in Waynesville, Missouri, along Route 66. And he did the murals there in Hannibal, Missouri, for the city. And I believe he's done some murals even for the state capitol in Missouri. And he's now taking the show on the road. He's going to be doing some murals in Kingman, Arizona, and possibly Needles, California this spring. So that's what we've got on the calendar here for on Coffee with Jim. So before I bid adios, any questions? Anything else we want to throw in? And anything else we want to talk about this morning? Any great events we need to know about? That takes me to one more, and I mentioned this earlier with Roy. I'm working with Marian Pavel on the Route 66 navigation app. And if you have any events coming up on Route 66 of any kind, if you'll send me the information, I will get it added to the Route 66 navigation app and see if we can enhance the traveler's experience and get some people to stop by and make your festival a little more lively. Hey, here's a great trivia question for you. Do you know where the largest Czechoslovakian cultural festival is held outside of the Czech Republic? Any guesses? Would you believe Yukon, Oklahoma, along Route 66? Been taking place for quite a few years. It's the largest Czechoslovakian cultural event in the world outside of the Czech Republic. Pretty astounding. Well, my friends, if we don't have anything else this morning, I want to thank new business opening up in Adrian, Texas, the Dreammaker Station Store. They open March 1st. Is that next to the Midpoint Cafe, Brady? Kelly Snyder and her husband, thank you. Yes, it's next to the Midpoint Cafe in. Roy's is kind of on a spot. The road, the Route 66 is in pretty bad shape out there in the Mojave Desert. That's for sure. Well, my friends, I want to thank you. And Roy specifically, I want to thank you for taking time today for doing this. And I hope everybody's making some great plans for Route 66 adventure this year. And get out and discover the magic and talk to people like Roy and his wife and, well, maybe make a career move. Find your quirky spot on Route 66 and change a few things.
Yep, bring them back to life.
Yes, by all means. And fudge. You know, Roy, I was going to mention this too. You know, I know of about 5 good fudge shops on Route 66. So wear your stretchy pants when you're traveling the road, because I know where all the pie and the fudge shops are at.
That's right. We give you a free sample, whatever flavor of fudge you want to try.
What is your most popular flavor? Do you have one, or does it change?
Tiger butter or turtle?
Tiger butter.
Yep.
That piques my interest.
Yeah, that's chocolate and peanut butter.
Oh.
With vanilla.
Oh. Ah. On that note, I got to refill the coffee cup. Hey, guys, thank you. We'll do this again next week, 7 o'clock, and we'll talk to Ron Romero next week. Let's send this thing off. We'll wrap it up with a little bit of road trip inspiring music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew. Roadcrew66.com. Roy, again, thank you. And everybody who joined us this morning from, well, all over the country and even Scotland. Hey, good morning. Brady, Fast Fanny's in Oatman is closing. I just was up there the other day talking to April. It's a family situation, and she's really not happy about closing the store because her mother was involved with that. The store's been there for decades, but it's a family situation, and they're going to have to take care of it. Yeah. My friends, until we meet again, adios, my friends. Vaya con Dios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.